Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday night. Time for words of wisdom. Plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God, where we fellowship and explore and expound on the word of God together. And tonight, we'll do the same. I like to thank God for allowing me to be able to go before his people. And I want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time out of your schedule to come together where we journey with one another to explore the word of God. I want you to know that the word of God is where God reveals himself to us. In the New Testament, when you see all of the writing in red, you know that's Jesus speaking. But in the Old Testament, when they say, thus saith the Lord, Moses say, God told me to tell you. The Lord told me to tell you. God in the Old Testament dwelt among his people. In the New Testament, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of his people because they're one, the Holy Spirit. God reveals himself to us in a word. God, the word of God, gives us instruction, direction, strength, help in a time of trouble, guidance. And it helps us to be holy because our God is holy. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Romans, the fifth chapter, verses 6 through 15. And the title of our lesson is, God loves you more than you can ever love yourself. You can't even love yourself more than God loves you. You really can't. And you can say, how could that be, my sisters? Well, look around the world. Everybody got something that they know if they do it, it would make them better. And sometimes they find that they can't do it, at least not all the time. But you see, God's love for us is consistent. It never changes. And it's not predicated on what we do, but it's predicated on who he is. So we can't love ourselves more than God loves us. And we should keep that in mind. At this time, I'm going to play a song that I felt was appropriate for tonight. The record is called, the song is called Justified. And this lesson is talking about how God justified us by his love. And I'm going to play the song at this time, and then we're going to go to the throne of grace.
It made me whole. He
set free. Thank you, Lord. Despite the enemy. If my sins had their way, I never would have made it with a debt I just couldn't afford to pay. He came and saved me when the enemy said that I couldn't. God said, go ahead, because you're covered by my awesome, awesome power. They watch over me all night long. If it had not been, 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 if it had not been for the love that was on my side. Hey, listen, I got some testimonies, listen. Just like Nineveh that was headed for destruction, God stepped in and he said,
not guilt.
You're gonna live and you won't see the day of destruction. Just like Daniel, who was condemned. If it hadn't been for the grace of God, you would have been, you could have been. Yeah, listen. Hey, to the liar.
Not guilt.
To the cheater.
Not guilt.
To the deceiver.
Not guilt.
Even to the believer.
Not guilt.
There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus.
Not guilt.
Yeah, yeah.
And as we listen to the song tonight, the man said, if you be honest with yourself, you know that God made a difference in your life. Whenever your back was against the wall and you looked up to God and called on his name, help was on the way. If you look back over your life and think some things over, things you know that you couldn't have gotten out of without God's help. Things you got in and you didn't know which way to turn. And God was with you. So let's give him the praise and honor he deserves. But more than that, let us realize, as the title of my lesson tonight says, we cannot love ourselves as much as God loves us. That's the truth. God loves us all the time. And our lesson going to see that love and how he came to us even when we weren't thinking about him. And at this time, it's time for us to pray. And one of my sisters has already pressed the line that she want to lead us into prayer on tonight. Tonight is the first Wednesday in the month of April. We have a prayer warrior, intercessor Pam, that prays every first Wednesday night. She's in position. She done already cut a light on and ready to do what she's committed to do. And at this time, Sister Pam, I turn and I open your mic, and you can lead us to the throne of grace.
Amen, my sister. Good evening, everybody. This is the prayer list for Wednesday, April the 7th, and it reads as far: Jacqueline Nicholas, Jim and Kathy Hartman, Beverly Ferguson, Florida Kasia, the Moses and Mitchell family, the Bridges family, Jerome Carter, Larry Bridges, Elizabeth Bias, Nicole Spencer Moore, Vanessa Humphrey, Vanessa Larent, Minister Paula Cloud, Ezariah Hurd, Tyrone Coleman, Lee Calhoun, Sandra Bridges, Minister Diane and family, Zabride Williams, Emma Turner, Margie Bridges, Onika Drew, and Chantel Brew. Father God, we come on tonight just thanking you for life. Thanking you, oh God, for allowing us to come together on this Wednesday night for prayer and worship. Father God, we're here tonight to fulfill your faithful servants, coming and lifting up the names of our brothers and sisters on our prayer list tonight, standing in the need and asking for prayer. Lord, we know that it's your will that every need be supplied. Lord, I thank you, O Lord Jesus, for loving us so much. So we come on tonight, Lord, Father God, on one accord, asking that you touch, that you heal, and that you deliver each one of my brothers and sisters that's asking and standing in the need of a prayer. Father God, we know that you love us so much that you allowed your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins so that we may have a chance to have eternal life. Father God, we just thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. God, we thank you for your darling Son, Jesus Christ. God, we just love you so much, and we just be so careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In the sweet, holy name of Jesus Christ, amen, and thank you, God.
Thank you so much, my sister. Thank you for those prayers. And if anyone have anyone that they would like to put on the prayer list, you can press the one button on your phone, and we'll add them to the list. And I want you to know that that list with those names on, Their names are called out every first Wednesday night, but those names are being prayed for daily by our prayer warriors and our intercessors. So if you have a name you would like to give, someone has pressed the one button. You could press the one button and we'll add it to the list. Caller, your number is 312. Yes. Your mic is open.
Minister Margie Lester, I would pray for myself and my family and also people in the world. I just like prayer because we all need prayer. And it's needed so much. And he do love us more than we love ourselves. Than we can ever imagine. So I just ask for prayer because prayer is the key to life. And I'm asking for prayer for myself because I have been through, in 2020, pneumonia. I've been through different things. Right now it's a car accident that happened, three cars, and I'm going through this right now. I had gotten over that, had a pacemaker. So I'm just asking God to continue to use me and do the things that is pleasing to him and to heal my body, and only he could do that.
Amen.
So I just thank God for being on the line tonight, and I thank God for Minister Diane for texting me and letting me know about this Bible study tonight. So continue to pray, and we're lifting up the world in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.
That's Minister, you said Margie Lester, right?
Margie Lester.
Margie Lester.
Margie Lester, yes.
Yes, thank you so much, and I'm so glad you were able to join us on tonight. And
okay,
you're so very welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I have another caller that the number is 985-774-71. Your mic is open.
Hi, Sister Diane. I just wanted to add my two sons to the prayer list, Garrett McBride and Dustin Perez. And really, myself and my husband, we just have a lot going on.
Right. And we never officially took them off the list. They're
Amen.
Still being prayed for, but they'll be called out starting again because we never took them off. So, Sister Pam, you know those names, right?
Yeah, I have them already. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's
Thank
Sister Brad Bride and her husband and her two children. Yes.
Yeah, the Dustin and the other brother. Yeah.
Yeah,
I have those names, the McBride
Thank
family.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank y'all so much. Sister Diana, I appreciate you so much.
You're welcome, baby.
I appreciate you too, darling. Anyone else would like to add anyone on the prayer list? Well, that's it for tonight as far as the prayer list and adding the names on. It's good when you need prayer if you put your name somewhere and they call your name out loud. It's a blessing. It's really a blessing. So at this time we're gonna go ahead into the lesson. Again, I said that our title tonight is God Loves You More Than You Could Ever Love Yourself. We're coming from the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 15. As always, I do a little background. And I want to ask the question. I don't know if you ever asked the question, why does God love us? And I'm sure if I asked everybody to give an answer, they would have all kind of answers. But why does God love us? The answer is among the most profound questions ever asked. And no human could ever be able to answer it sufficiently. One thing is certain. God does not love us because we are lovable. So let's get that straight. He don't love us because we're so obedient. He don't even love us because we're so forgiving. And at many times, we're not as kind as we should be. And he sure don't love us because we deserve his love. If anything, the opposite is true. You see, we are so hard on ourselves and can never enter into the total rest and peace and blessing that God has for us because we really don't understand the love of God. You know, I get calls many times, oh, I messed up last week and I know God has left me. I did dust and soul last month and I know I'm not saved and I can't feel the presence of God because I'm not living right. I'm going to read this one more time. We are so hard on ourselves and can never enter into total rest of God's blessings, peace. Because we don't understand the love of God. You see, God loves us when we study more. That's what some people, or if I begin to study and I read my Bible every day and I pray three times a day and I go to church three times a week and, you know, that's going to get God to love me. But if God love you when you study more, if you study less. You see, God has given and asked us to do these things. First of all, the word of God is where he reveals himself to us. The word of God is also the place where he reveals us to ourselves. Now, get this. If you never study, and if you never pray, and you've been saved, you won't maybe receive some of your rewards and your blessings. But you're going to be saved because the more you study, the more you pray, the more obedient acts you do towards God, it's all for you. Your praying don't make God no more God. Your praying don't put nothing on God and it can't take nothing away from God. But your praying is letting God know what you need for him to help you. So don't ever think when you studying, you helping God. God is God all by itself. I tell many people because I've experienced people who go to church on Sunday sometimes, they always have their Bible. And when they go into the church, they bring the Bible, come out of church, put the Bible on the car seat, and they go home. And when they go home, they leave the Bible on a car seat the next Sunday. But God still loves you. You see? But you have to realize this as well. Even though God is love, he also gives judgment because that's what a righteous God do. He issue out his wrath because he can't let sin go undone. God angers and he's jealous. And at times, he will exhibit fury. And yes, I have to tell you, he still loves. Remember the children of Israel. Y'all know how they was obedient, disobedient, obedient, and disobedient, obedient, disobedient, took and made the golden calf from the stuff that he had given them there in the wilderness, and they was obedient, and then they would listen, and they wouldn't listen. But didn't he still deliver them to the promised land? You see, God loves you when you are obedient or disobedient. Why and how could he? Because there are consequences already in place to take care of that. Come on, y'all. Obedience has its gifts and blessings attached to it. And disobedience has its wrath, consequences attached to that. It's already in place. You see, God also told us in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. You're no longer condemned if you accepted Jesus as your Savior. But we keep condemning ourselves. I'm not, I should be, I wish, I'm not good enough, I didn't do enough, I didn't give enough. You're condemning yourself. God said, I removed the condemnation when you accepted my Son. The condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, your salvation is secured. And I can't say that enough. Your salvation is secured. The Holy Ghost is now living inside of you, and Jesus died for you. That should be enough to give you rest and peace. You see, God loves us because he is our Father, and we are his children. You see, the state of mankind since the fall of man is one of rebellious and disobedience. You know, if I went in the Bible to try to prove it, I went to Jeremiah 12:9, and it describes man in a condition. The scriptures say the heart is deceitful. The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible also tells us that we all fall short of the glory of God. Come on now. So when we take that in consideration, we'll understand how God can love us, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. You see, our innermost being are so corrupt by sin that even we don't realize the extent to which the sin has tainted us. We tainted, y'all. We're tainted by sin, and it ain't gonna go away. God allows our sin to be removed by the blood of his Son, but the consequences of our sin belongs to us, and the penalty of sin is death. And you guys know that that is true because people are still dying. Even though Jesus took away our sin, we have to still die because that was the penalty of the sin. But the difference between the saved and unsaved is that we died once. And we should live, we're going to live eternally with God in heaven. See, we're going to have eternal life with God. And those who are not saved are going to have eternal damnation with Satan. You see, in our natural state, we do not see God. Let's get it right, y'all. There was times we didn't even love God because we was doing things the way we wanted, how we wanted, when we wanted, and even why we wanted. And even after knowing God, we do it the same way. If we want to be honest, how then is it possible for a holy, righteous, and perfect God to love us? The scripture in John 4:8 tell us God is love, period, totally, his nature, his essence, all of his attributes. God is just love. And that's why he can love us the way he do. You see, sin dwells within us. And we have a holy war going on, spiritual war battle. We are wrapped up in sin. But because the Holy Ghost is living inside of us, we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. One person, you, me, and everybody else. To be living and walking on earth, you got to be wrapped up in the flesh. Now, sin can only dwell in the flesh. Come on, y'all. So we are one person. We have the flesh, which is the standards of the world that the flesh operate in. That's where sin desires are. And then we have the Spirit of God living in us, trying to lead us to the things of God is where our greatest success is. Now, the flesh say, I want this and that. And the Spirit of God is saying, you do better if you do this and that. And it shouldn't be, but it's a fact. And I come to tell you today, sometimes the flesh wins, and sometimes the Spirit wins. God is not looking for your perfection, my sisters and brothers, but he's looking for your direction. Can you be better in 5 years than you was 5 years ago? Come on now. Can you be better tomorrow than you were today? God knows. He said in his word, he said, all fall short of the glory of God. That's what God said. He said, the deeds, the good deeds we do, the reading we doing and the praying we doing and in the giving and the caring and the sharing and the what we doing, he says, is like filthy rags compared to the grace of God, compared to the love of God. God even told us that the same mouth that we lift up our hallelujahs to him is the same mouth we curse out of. God said, I know anything will come out the mouth. He said, that's why I have the ability, and I looked at the heart. And God said, I'm going to love you because you're mine. It's almost like a person, a husband and a wife have children. And maybe the children is not doing as well as the father would like the children to do. But that father don't turn his back. He loves his child because it's his child. And God say, I'm your heavenly father. So if an earthly father could love a child when they good and when they bad, he say, what you think about me? You see, God's love for sinners is why Christ died on the cross. And y'all gonna, when we get to the scripture, you're gonna see something. God's love for those who trust in Christ is why he holds them in his hand and promised to never let them go. You see, God is so pleased with the fact that you accept his son wholeheartedly, that you put your faith and your trust in his son. That's why he loves you. He said, I did it for you, but you got to accept it. And then you accept it. He said, all right, you're mine. God loves us more than we could ever love ourselves. sometimes you might say, oh, I don't want to drink salt drinks no more because salt drinks is bad. And you may have been to the doctor and the doctor told you, you know, stop drinking them Coca-Colas. I'm just being hyper. You know, every now and then you got to get a little bit of it. You see, God loves us totally. We love ourselves, but we want what we want sometime if it's good for us or if it's not. And that's why I say God loves us more than we love ourselves. And I'm going to start reading the scriptures. I pray that everybody have their Bibles. I'm in the book of Romans. I'm in the 5th chapter, and I'm going to start at the 6th verse. And the verse reads, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now this is talking about how God sent his son. But the scripture says, while we were yet without strength, in due time God sent his son. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. Now, that's talking about good people. You know, they might try to, you know, put their life up because such and such and such and such. But watch this in verse 8. But God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Everybody didn't have it all going on so good and doing everything right when Christ died. The scriptures tell us while we were yet sinners. You know, before you decided to follow God, God was taking care of you, and God takes care of his creation. So if you was being taken care of before you were saved, you ought to know it wasn't the devil. God say he shine on the just as well as the unjust. But he's this scripture say, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't wait till you get it right. That's why when someone joined church today, and I was teaching before the pandemic, remember, at my church, you know, not even with that, but when you invite somebody to church, they say, oh, I can't come now. I got to get right. I'm waiting to get right. The Bible teaches us that you go to church and let God help you to get right. Your getting right ain't by your power. Because if you had the power, you would be right. It is God, when you accept his son and the spirit come live inside of you and the spirit is circumcising your heart to the things of God that you... And then you do that studying, which is for you that I told you earlier. And then you praying, and Jesus, as he said at the right hand of the Father, interceding in our behalf, and all of a sudden inside of you, you see a change taking place. But it's all by God, all things through Christ Jesus. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood. Before we were saved, while we were living in our sin, God sent his son to die for us. But look what the scripture in verse 9 says. Much more than being now sanctified by his blood. If God loved you before you accepted his son, before you was trying to read and study and whatever, if he loved you ultimately enough to send his son, and verse 9 say, much more than being now justified by his blood, but I come to tell you, God can't love you no more than he loved you right now. God loved you when you were in your sin like he loved you right now. God loves you more than you could ever love yourself. They say, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God. See, God loved us, but the wrath of God was on us because sin from Adam had brought it into in the world, and God had to deal with sin, or he wouldn't be a righteous God, that judge. So the scripture is saying, since we are saved and justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God. We won't have to go to damnation, eternal damnation in hell. That's the wrath of God for the sin. That was the punishment, which was death. And verse 10, for if then we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Because of sin, we was enemies against God. And then God sent his son. And much more, now we are reconciled. We shall be saved by his life. 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God. We can receive the joy of God, and we can fellowship with God for ourselves. You see, sin had separated us from God. But when Jesus died, the scriptures say that the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. That gave us personal access to God for ourselves. We no longer, how they had to do in the Old Testament, go to the priest or the prophet or the judge or to Moses to speak to God on their behalf. We can go to God for ourselves in prayer because of Christ Jesus' death, by whom we have now received atonement. See, our sins been atoned, and that's the only way we could go to a holy God. You see, and couldn't be righteous enough to atone ourselves. So when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, it atoned our sins, which means that was the expiration of our sins. Our sins no longer belong to us. Jesus Christ nailed them to the cross. Jesus took the burden on himself. And even when he was on the cross and said, my Father, why dost thou forsake me? He knew he had the love of his Father. But you see, when he took our filthy sins upon himself, God had to have the same attitude towards the sin, no matter who they was on. But you see, when Jesus died, and they say he gave up the ghost, and then he said, Father, until my hands, I commit my spirit and soul. You see, the flesh was on the cross, and the sin dwells in the flesh, and now his spirit is separated. And because the flesh was nailed to the cross, and now Jesus' spirit and soul is left in him, he said, it's time to go back to my Father. He couldn't go with that flesh on his body, y'all. So that's another reason they had to have the cross. See, they nailed that flesh to the cross. They nailed that flesh that encompassed the sin. Sin dwells in the flesh. Your spirit ain't never asked you to do something you ain't had no business doing. It is your flesh. Your flesh could tell a man, look at that woman, or that woman to look at that man, and know they got a husband at home. That's the flesh, y'all. That flesh will tell you, I know you're full, but I just feel like eating another piece of cake. That's the flesh, y'all. And then if we look at the scripture that I read, you know, and I talk about it, I done talked about it. The Holy Ghost brought it where he wanted. hope it was for somebody. But God had a master plan. And, you know, they say it in due time, and Jesus came when we were weak. God knew what he wanted to do, when he wanted to do it, how he wanted to do it, and he even knew why. See, sometimes we think God is taking too long, or God, what's taking him so long, or why he didn't come last year, and this and that. You can't make God fit your timetable. I come to tell you tonight, you are not a fool. It's a privilege to make a time schedule and demand for God to fit into yours. Then that would make you God. But you see, his timing is perfect. Because he knew when we were without strength, that's the scripture says, he sent his son. It may seem late to some, but Jesus' work was done at the perfect time in God's plan. When the fullness of the time had come, Jesus sent his son. And if we look at Galatians 4:4, it says, now who will be willing to die for someone else, not you or I? But the love of God for us, even while we were heavy in our sin, Christ died for us. Now that's love. How many times somebody might put their child or their partner out and say, when you get right, come back. Because I don't like what you're doing. And sometimes it's necessary. While we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. Many Christians start off in grace, but then think they must go on to perfection and maturity by dealing with God on the principle of works and law. You see, they have an idea of earning and deserving. I'm going to pray 3 times. You got to give me something. I'm going to go work at the church, and you better give me something. See, they're working on the premise of, hallelujah, earning and deserving. But I wanted to tell you, like I said before, God is not looking for your perfection, only your direction. You got to remember, you didn't go looking for God. God came looking for you. Remember, grace is God's undeserved favor towards us, and it's the only way to salvation. It is also what tells us and allows us to have a perfect standing before God. See, I was saying it earlier, and I went in another direction, but you see, we could never be righteous enough to save ourselves. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, God extended his righteousness towards us in the process of atonement when he took away our sins. So that's how we could stand before God. So don't get it twisted. Don't ever think it's because you're so good. Don't you ever think because you read more than your neighbor. Don't think you better because you get up and go to church on Sunday and your neighbor's washing their car. You see, until we got it, we didn't have it. And do you pray for that neighbor? Come on, y'all. But many times we get it twisted. And God ain't never had no favor because, you see, I have no respect to persons. It is not only the beginning principle of a Christian life that matters, but it's also the continual principle of a Christian life. You could ask yourself the question, I'm saved, now what? You see, God saves us. We're here on earth. He tells us we're on the earth, but we on earth, but we're not of the earth. Let's get this straight. He know we down here. We know the earth is ruled by the prince of the air. He know the world is governed by the world standards, which is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He said, but my people, I'm going to give you a kingdom. And it's called the kingdom of God here on earth. He said, I want y'all to come together. That's why he created the church building for his church, which we are, so that we could fellowship one with another, begin to encourage one another, and praise be to God if we begin to take care of one another. You see, he said, I'm going to have all of the body of Christ to be able to flow in my kingdom here on earth. Now, I'm not trying to send you to a place to find a location, but it's a heart thing, y'all. It's a mind thing. It's a moral way of living. And you see, the more you read, the more you could teach someone else. Come on, y'all, because we're supposed to be about kingdom building. Come on now. You pray for God to give you a good job, and God gives you that good job that you make more money than you ever made before, because maybe he wanted you to share some of that money with the people next door. Everything we have, God don't just give it to us for ourselves. God is a good God, y'all, and he's worthy to be praised. When we relate to God on the principle of works, trying to get God to love us more, any rejoicing, a presumption, and any imagined glory will go to us. Y'all remember in the Bible, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, how they learned the Bible to be looked upon and wanted the people have esteemed in them. They wanted the glory from the people. They had it twisted, y'all. So that's why I say, when we relate to God on the principle of works, I read, I study, I pray, I go to church, I give, I pay my tithe. When we work, when we relate to God on the principles of work, trying to get God to love us more, any imagined glory goes to us, not God. And God tell us, y'all, he's not going to share his glory. And you got to remember, before you was reading and giving and going to church, if God loved you that much while you were in your sin, you should know that he loves you much more now. Why? Because by growing in grace and receiving the knowledge of God, we began to love him more for what he has done and not what we can do ourselves. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you again, God can't love you no more than he loves you right now. Now, see this, you know, I could do another lesson and put it part two of this, because I'm not saying it's just that. Okay, you know, you pay your tithe, the Bible says, so that God can rebuke the devourer for your sake. You know, there's things you do that you get a reward for. So what you may be missing is your reward, that Jesus Christ going to come back in his hand when he busts through the cloud with the rapture. Now, I'm talking about, and, you know, we have rewards on earth because God opened doors that no man can open and shut doors that no man can close. So I'm not talking about these things in this lesson right now, but I had to throw it in there so you'll know. God truly blessed his children. But it's not predicated on how much you did. Now, there's certain, let me tell you this, there's certain laws like cause and effect and the law of gravity. If you save your money, you're going to have a saving. If you pay your bills, you're going to have good credit. So if you got a saving and you got good credit, now the job came from God and the money God allowed you to make is all God. But then you go to get a brand new car, they give it to you because your credit is good and you have a down payment. But I want you to know it's all about God. All things through Christ Jesus. And what the Bible says. God is working all things out together for our good. And it's because of God's grace. All things through Christ Jesus, that those weapons that form against us don't prosper. It's a God thing, y'all. And I want to let you know, and I'm going to just give you this picture part too, because I can't let you go out hanging like that. You are not doing good to be saved. Because if you accepted Christ as your Savior, you are already saved. And the scripture did show you while you was in your sin, God came and took you in if you accepted his Son. So we got that out the way. You're not doing good even now to become saved. But once you realize by studying and growing in grace what all that God is doing for you, you would want to please God. That's where the pleasing God come in. You got a heavenly Father, and you tried to do everything you thought could make him happy about you. Come on, y'all. So that's why you try to please your heavenly Father by the things you do. But it doesn't make God love you no more, because he loved you with agape love while you were yet in your sins. And that's the lesson for tonight. If there's any comments, anybody want to ask a question or anything, you can at this time. God loves us, y'all. And God wants us to rest. We never learned how to rest because we so busy doing what somebody done told us we have to do. Listening under a teacher, under the preacher that some of them preach in hell every Sunday. If you don't pay your tithes, you're going to be cursed. If you don't come to church, God ain't going to love you. You're not going to be his child. The Bible don't tell us that. That's why 2 Timothy 2 and 15 say you got to study for yourself so you know what is the truth. Because the truth is the only thing that's going to make us free. God loves us unconditionally. God loves us in spite of and not because of. Any comments, questions, or concerns? Sister Diane McBride, you had pressed the one button earlier to ask for prayer. So if you're pressing the button now, I won't be able to see it. So I didn't know if you wanted to say something.
No, I'm doing as much as I can on my end, praying with my family, and it's really nice listening to your lesson again. And it was very, very educational tonight for me.
Thank you, my sister.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Sister, your number is 312961. By this being your first time on the program, if you press the one button, whenever you want to speak, you can press the one button and I can see a prompt. But once the one button is pressed and you press it for prayer, if you press it again, I won't get a prompt. So I'm only asking you if maybe you wanted to say something and I couldn't see it. But if not, I could just close your mic back up. And now, since I did that, I'll do the same thing for you, Sister Pam.
Just thanking you for another beautiful lesson, plain and simple. And I thank God for you, for his anointing over you. God bless you. God keep you.
And I thank God for you as well, my sister. Well, that's our program for tonight. And what we're going to do, if there's no one would like to say anything or ask any questions, we're going to go ahead and do the benediction. And I'm coming from 2 Peter 3:18. And the scripture reads, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. Amen. If it's God's desire and you will, and your desire, we'll be back on Monday night, 8:30. Everybody be blessed. And go in peace that God has already given us. And find the rest that God wants us to experience. Good night.